The sermon scripture is from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 3 and 5 through 7. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, but do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall still not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Here ends the scripture. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. What a profound symbol a journey has become for life itself, for our ability to put one foot in front of another, gaining skill and stamina, facing difficulties, overcoming obstacles, reaching triumphs, and then ultimately finding the way down as treacherous as the way up. Our lives are filled with surprises, challenges we were unprepared for, epiphanies when we discover unexpected treasures, such as gifts of friendship and support. Not only are there ups and downs, there are sharp turns where the path is not discernible, deep woods where we lose our sense of direction, if we ever had one. We think we have the map all figured out, and we can even fold it back up correctly when we've unfolded it. But then the route shifts from a bold-faced interstate to a state highway to a county road, and then it disappears. Even the GPS is not totally reliable. What is more irritating than an insistent voice firmly telling you to turn right, turn right, turn right, when you're pretty sure you should go straight? Thankfully, for long stretches of the journey, we have company, someone to offer support or someone who needs our support, someone to distract us from our blisters and aching joints, someone to share the glories of a spectacular sunset. There is a particular kind of journey that truly mirrors the lifelong quest I'm talking about, and that is a pilgrimage. The word says it all. An individual travels a long distance over difficult terrain, seeking spiritual fulfillment or enlightenment. There is a well-known pilgrimage to the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela in northwest Spain, the legendary burial place of St. James. Our peripatetic Sarah has taken this quest, and I hope that someday she will be able to tell us her story. For now, she's on another journey, one that in some ways may make her pilgrimage seem like a cruise down the Danube. Journeys are meant to be shared, but there are times when it seems as if we are alone, that no one can accompany us. Even then, deep down, we know that our immortal, invisible, God only wise, is with us. Despite our frustrations and disappointments, we experience just enough love and goodness and beauty to give us hope. Knowing that there are Peace Corps volunteers in all sorts of remote places, that John Smith will be in the Dominican Republic with Cane Fire, installing wells to provide safe drinking water, gives us hope. For more hope along the journey, I'd like to share with you some excerpts from Nicholas Kristof's column last Sunday. He's a regular writer for the New York Times. Let me try to make the case that 2008 was actually the best year in human history. Each day, on average, about another 295,000 people around the world gain access to electricity for the first time. Every day, another 305,000 people were able to access clean drinking water for the first time. Never before has such a large portion of humanity been literate, enjoyed a middle-class cushion, lived such long lives, had access to family planning, or been confident that their children would survive. Perhaps it seems Pollyannish or tasteless to trumpet progress at a time when there is so much butchery, misrule, and threat hanging over us. But I cover the butchery and misrule every other day of the year, and I do this annual column about progress to try to place those tragedies in perspective. So maybe we can't see it. Maybe such good news doesn't make it to Lester Holt at 6:30. But knowing it gives us hope. We all recognize that hurt and loss and disaster lead to growth and wisdom. We understand that when we're in a miserable spot, it will change. That's hope. Responding to terrible disasters, giving to relief efforts, that's hope. Fear against all odds leads to community, to bravery and action, and those give us hope. Some of you may be familiar with Anne Lamott. She has written 10 nonfiction books, mostly about her own circuitous odyssey through life. She has a new book that's been out for a few months. Almost Everything, Notes on Hope. I'd like to share a few passages with you. She says, "I've learned that almost more than anything, stories hold us together. Stories teach us what is important about life, why we are here, and how it is best to behave, and that inside us we have access to treasure in memories and observations in imagination." Sidebar, who else can you think of who passed on the most significant concepts by means of stories? Back to Anne Lamott. "This is what I want to teach the little kids in my writing class, along with the most important thing anyone ever told me. Almost 30 years ago, when I called my mentor at my most toxic and hysterical, having screwed up as a mother, she said to me, 'Dearest, here's the secret. You are pre-approved.' I kept asking her, 'Really?' This is what I want to teach my niece and my grandson too, my Sunday school kids, my dearest children, that they are pre-approved. This is a come-as-you-are party. Who they were in utero, in kindergarten, in high school, in bed last night, was the very best they could be at the time, was in fact the only way they could be at the time. It is okay for them to make bad mistakes and decisions to write ghastly first drafts. Hope changes as you get a little or a lot older, from the hope that this or that happens to hope in life, old friends, laughter, art, goodness, helpers. I hope and am amazed some early mornings at just finding myself alive. I thought as I approached 18 years old that I was a goner for sure. And here I am, still alive, still here, and often in a good mood. Other early mornings, not so much. My back aches, my vision fades, I can't concentrate. It's like in the Samuel Beckett novel, "You must go on." I can't go on. I'll go on. Hope springs from that which is right in front of us, which surprises us and seems to work. Does it occur to you, as it does to me, that hope is another word for God? Hope is what keeps us upright on the path. Hope is also the helping hand given and received when we stumble on the path. Against all odds, no matter what we've lost, no matter what messes we've made over time, no matter how dark the night, we offer and are offered kindness, soul, light, food, which create breath and spaciousness, which create hope sufficient for the journey.